Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sourdust. Is it a bit cold in here? It's a little bit chilly, isn't it? A little bit chilly, but not for either of us. Not for either of us.
No.
Oh, man. What a performance from Mr. Palmer this weekend. What a performance. If you've got him, guys, I want to know how you feel about that haul. That is, it was close to being, or perhaps should have been, because I'll tell you what, I watched some of the highlights of that game. Four was the least he could have had. He could have had a lot of... Cole Palmer owners, consider yourselves very lucky for the four goals that he scored, but consider yourselves a little unlucky that he could have had more. What a performance from Cole. And yeah, the weather has taken a bit of a turn for the worse here in the UK over the last week or so, but this weekend was particularly cold.
Yeah. Particularly for United fan as well.
Oh, we'll talk about you lot in a minute. Of course we will. Of course we will. There's already people in the chat saying Lee's going to be backtracking on Ange. I will be a little bit, guys, because again, Spurs are very good, but United abject. But we'll come to that.
Cole Lee's Palmer, talked himself out of the divorce courts in the last 2 weeks.
But talk to me about Cole. What a performance. So good, wasn't it? So good.
It was really good. But the thing is, we know from last season that Cole Palmer can do these things. Mm. Like, we knew this. We know this in FPL. We know this from a Chelsea perspective. The questions last week were, and it was the same with Salah, who also punished those that sold him on wildcard. How do you prioritise these players? How do you determine which ones you get? And for many people, it was like, okay, fixtures. Well, Brighton is actually a good fixture. Brighton defensively this season.
Woeful. Yeah, what's going on?
But they haven't been. Have they? For like the last few weeks, Brighton defensively, they started the season well, Brighton. So suddenly I don't know what happened to them. I mean, I know they were without some key players, but nonetheless.
Well, I think that was exactly it. I mean, we'll talk about the game later on, right? But to play the high line in the way that they did, Palmer and co, it was like being game week two against Wolves again, wasn't it? When Ait Nouri went AWOL. Chelsea were just like, all right, cheers. Well, that's just us in behind again.
Yeah.
And they got caught offside marginally a couple of times. That's what I mean. They could have had more.
Yeah, they just
kept doing
it.
Brighton just kept doing it. And then at half time, Hertzler was like, oh, we actually probably should change something. Made a couple of changes. And then second half, I wouldn't say it was massively better, but it was, you know, they improved.
It was better.
They stopped the rot, if anything. Yeah. And it was just tragic. Kept doing the same bloody mistakes.
But I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, when you look back at that, at the decisions that people would have made to keep or sell certain individuals, you knew that going without a Palmer was never going to, or a Salah, or whoever it was that you decided you weren't going to have because you were going to have somebody else instead. You knew there was always an opportunity that this might happen. I have been living on the edge for the last few weeks, not having Salah.
Mm.
Like, it's been not nice. And also because I haven't had Diaz as well. And I've not enjoyed it watching Liverpool games because of that. Because you always know that this might happen. And
was it a win for wildcarders in game week 6 then? Because there was a lot of FPL managers. I think I saw a stat on the FPL Twitter saying it was the 6th or 7th highest ever week for wildcards. Was it a win or wasn't it? It feels not. It feels not. But I'd like to know from you guys, if you wildcarded, what scores did you get? Because there's a lot of 30s and 40s out there on wildcard.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a lot of people that are really disappointed by the results that happened this week. And on paper, the wildcard teams that you created should
have
returned
paper, right?
Massively. Yeah. And we should remember that, you know, you've wildcarded not just for game week 6, but also for beyond that. So you're going to have multiple weeks now where that wildcard could pay off in its droves. But this week it will definitely hurt. And I think when you look at the decisions, like I had a Patreon call on Friday afternoon with one of our patrons and we were talking about his wildcard, and all of the players that we kind of talked about, do you still want to keep them, were players that didn't have great fixtures coming forward. And of course, they're players like Gehi, who decides to go score in game week 6. You know, it was just one of those weeks, wasn't it, where the players that you thought maybe I can go without on a wildcard, Anthony Gordon, another example of that, just picked up something. And results that were maybe surprising as well. Like, I didn't see Chelsea smashing Brighton. I certainly didn't see Man City dropping points to Newcastle.
I think a lot of us, me included, I captained Haaland this week simply because I thought Newcastle starting the season so far, they've not looked defensively very good. It looked a lot better. It looked a lot better. Tonali in particular, I thought, played well. But a lot of it came from, and we'll do the games in a minute, guys, but the press from Anthony Gordon in that number nine. He was He was like a Duracell bunny. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So as usual, guys, we'll do the games. We'll talk about all the key kind of FPL talking points. Let's say hello to a few people. Just while I bring the chat up, Sam, a sort of broader question and something that I was kind of thinking about when I was looking at my rank and seeing where I'm at. And I'm at about a million at the minute. I think you're about 1.1, 1.2, something like that.
Right.
At what stage do we start thinking about ranks and, you know, where we're at and taking notice of them? Are we probably still too early? And also, is FPL hard? Is it harder this year? Like, I'm finding it personally hard this year.
Mm.
Like, the whole kind of Salah versus Haaland thing, we've had that for weeks rumbling on. And if that was the only thing that we had to make a decision on, you know, are you a team Haaland or are you team Salah? Then, okay, there's a bit of narrative there. But Palmer going mad on two occasions so far this season and sort of regularly ticking over. Saka ticking over every week. All right, a blank this week, right? But, you know, could have had something. And if you've got him in on your wild card and if you've got him, you can feel a bit unlucky because Arsenal have got the four goals.
Yeah.
He's just not been involved. So kind of Palmer. And then you've got sort of Diaz taking a claim as well. I think FPL's hard this year.
Mm.
And that just goes back to what we said in game week one about the pricing. They're getting the pricing right, I think.
Yeah.
Because jumping around these premiums is tough. I found myself playing quite aggressively these first 6 weeks and trying to chase upside and chase the premiums around. And it's getting me nowhere, I don't think. I think I need to change my approach a little bit.
I mean, look, I think it has been hard this year. And I think it was hard from the beginning because we're all of us that have played for many years or that take the game very seriously, you're learning a new way of playing the game because we can't have everyone in our teams in the way that we used to. For the last 4 or 5 years, you've been able to own Haaland and Salah and Kane when he was around as well. You could have Palmer and Foden and Saka, and you can just fit all of these guys in. And then you'd sort of tinker around the edges with your differentials, and they'd be the ones that would gain your rank. This season, it's just not like that. You're having to make decisions, and then you've got two ways of looking at it. There's the kind of what you've been doing, which is to be aggressive and move players in and out, swap the premiums around, swap the mid-price players around. That's one way of doing it. And then there's what I've been doing, which is being a bit more steady.
Yeah.
A bit more kind of traditional, I guess.
Patient with it, yeah.
Holding my premiums, not panicking, accepting I can't have Salah, accepting I can't hold Palmer, and moving the other players around and trying to gain the benefit from those, which is more of a traditional approach. Now, in reality, there's very, very little between us still with those two different approaches. Like, we've taken two entirely different approaches. I mean, before going into this game week, when we were on Sky on Saturday morning, I think there was, 5 points between
us?
And it's going to be similar again. I haven't seen what you got this week, but my guess is it's still a similar number of points between us. Now, that in itself is interesting, isn't it? Because we've taken two very different strategies, very different approaches. Neither of them has been... I wouldn't have said either of them has been a particularly incredible start. Neither of them has been, like, significantly better than the other. Both of them have had their pros and their cons. And I think if you've been able to successfully jump from premium to premium and catch every haul, you've been very, very lucky. Because inevitably, as you switch from your premiums, things like today and yesterday happen, and you miss a Salah goal and you miss a Palmer haul because you're investing in somebody else, or you've taken out Watkins this week because you're going for a whoever else it is instead.
You think it's hard this season, though? I do think
it's hard, yeah. But I think that it will settle.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do think it will settle.
I don't think it will. I think we're in for a long, hard season, and I think it's... I disagree. I don't think it will settle. I don't see a template really forming.
Not yet.
And I think just as a template starts to form, like in a way we sort of had a bit of a template because a lot of wildcarders active this week and you say, okay, well, I was seeing a lot of wildcard drafts. They look pretty similar. So I'm thinking, okay, well, how close am I to that as a template?
Yeah.
And then it goes and gets 20, 30 points this game week or whatever. It flops.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the template shifts back. Now people are just like, oh, well, Watkins and Palmer are the ones to have. Haaland's blank. Salah's got a penalty and free, but so he's got the one to have. It feels like every week there's no consistency at the moment, and I don't see that changing. And I think that goes back to, as I said at the beginning, fair play to FPL Towers. They've got the pricing right, and it's making it difficult for the casual player. Like Palmer, I didn't realise, but when I looked on him, I thought when he scored those four goals, I thought, "Cool, that's going to sting." But
no, it really hurt.
I thought it's going to sting, but I don't see him in many wild cards, and I'm not seeing him in many Twitter teams. Trust me, the casuals have got him. 42.5% owned.
Yeah.
So if you've not got Palmer this week, it's damage limitation. And that's where I looked at my team and I thought, well, I've got, you know, I've got Mbeumo and I've got Watkins, I've got Diogo Jota. I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, might just, you know, probably a green arrow, hopefully with that lot. I'm nowhere near green.
Mm.
I'm like, if anything, I'm just about damage limitation, because if you haven't got Cole, half the game have.
Yeah, it was.
It's hard.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think that is that the point you make there is very, very valid, in that we live in a FPL bubble, and we think that that bubble is reflective of FPL. And in most previous seasons, it is, because a lot of what we are doing as content creators and as people that play the game very seriously leads to what a lot of the casual people are doing or seeing in social media. This year, it's not like that at all. Like, a lot of the casual players actually have benefited from this start to the season, because they aren't as like, well, these are the key assets that we have to have. They're happy to rely on players like Palmer. They're happy to have a few differential picks in their Vardiol from last season. They look at the high scoring players from last season and go, oh, well, I'll have them.
Mm.
You got Palmer and Vardiol and people like that in your team from last year, and you're laughing.
Yeah, totally.
So it is really interesting. And I think in answer to your other question from the beginning, I don't personally look at my rank until game week 10. Game week 10.
10?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 traditionally is the time I go, right, where am I? And what's going, that for me is a reflective week.
Yeah, okay.
Where you hit double digits, because you know then you've got 28 game weeks to go, and it's kind of like, right, I'm about coming up to a quarter of the way in. What am I doing?
Okay, yeah, I must admit, I'm starting to look at it now.
Already?
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting though, because, you know, I got to, you know, get to about this stage last season. I had a cracking start last season, really, really good, and I didn't really slip outside the top 300k all season. Yet here I am sort of floundering about a million, and it's just a different sort of challenge to last season. It's a different sort of challenge, and I am finding it tough this season, particularly with, you know, having Palmer a couple of weeks ago, because I aggressively wildcarded him in, then wasn't patient enough, and then got rid of him last week and got Mbeumo in, and in the meantime Mbeumo's got two in two, so I'm not unhappy, but then you miss the Palmer haul.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It's difficult.
Upside chasing is a very difficult way to play the game. It's very difficult, but you've got to be quite strong to upside chase and just accept it.
Well, my view is it's not getting me anywhere this season. I'm going to change. I think I'm going to have a change of heart potentially. He says potentially taking a hit this week, but we'll talk about that in a bit. FPL gamer, how are you, mate? Nice to see you. Count your blessings. Some of us dropped from 600k to 2.3. It's one of them weeks, gamer. Honestly, it's a tough one. If you've got Palmer, great. If you haven't, and you've not, and you picked the wrong captain, like what I did, and maybe you did. It's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult.
I don't feel like you've got the camera very well lined up today, because when I sit in my actual seat,
would you like me to? I can change it, well, if you'd like me to change it.
I'll do it, but I can't see over your mic. Can you just?
What do you want me to do? Just bring you more into the shot, like that.
That's better, because I was really uncomfortable having to sit like this. I want to sit like
you
this.
You can sit back and chill out. Okay,
yeah.
Well, there we go.
Thank
there
you.
We go. Nigel's in as usual. Hello, Simon. Nice to see you, mate. Very nice to see you. Leighton and Justine are in. They say, Captain Fantastic Palmer. Very good. If you captained him this week, that is the one. That is the one. No doubt about it. I think I missed a super chat from Kens. Hey, Kens. Nice to see you, mate. Evening, both. He says, what an awful FPL weekend. Kens, you won't be the only one, mate. You will not be the only one. However, Liverpool, top of the league. Liverpool, top of the league. Performance not the best, but a win. Mate, you can say that again. Got some thoughts on our performance. Not good. Not very good at all. One or two, really, I did not think. If you'd have said to me in game week one, Liverpool, who's the most important player for Liverpool 6 weeks in, I'd say Ryan Gravenberch playing in the six would not have been my answer. But he's becoming very, very important for us. And Kens finishes his super chat by saying, United being United. Maybe we'll do that game first, Kens. Maybe we'll do that first. Daniel Banks, very nice to see you. Are people going to sell Saka for Palmer when Arsenal have Saints at home? This is it. You know, this is a perfect example of staying loyal and patient with what you've got. Because with Saints up next, you know, Arsenal still scored a ton of goals. All right, they conceded two against Leicester.
What was that about, by the way?
What, the two they conceded?
Well, just that. I mean, that was such a this week, wasn't it? Arsenal, the best defence in the league, never concede. On paper, they're not conceding. They concede twice to James Justin. By the way, second James Justin goal was epic.
And I think you've made that's there's the point, right? So the first one was a big deflection of a Havertz, which I thought for a minute might have been an own goal, but it wasn't. And then the second James Justin goal is like a goal of the season.
Yeah, I know.
So
but
it's a game state thing.
But that in a nutshell, the Arsenal clean sheet going kind of encapsulated this week for me.
Because
all the things that you thought you knew, you didn't know, if you know what I mean, this week.
Gavin's in. Hey, Gavin. Watkins and Palmer now look like must-haves. Yeah, mate, but listen.
It'll be someone different next week.
Are we sitting here last week saying, oh, well, you've got to have Haaland. And now we'll have a whole week of content creators saying, well, you've got to have Palmer now and you've got to have Salah. And it's like...
Yep.
The more, you know, the more we get into the season, and it's, and that's what I mean. It's difficult because every week it's, you've got to have somebody else, and it's tough. It's tough. A bit of patience will, I think, eventually will eventually be the right course of action. Who else have we got? Stephen Harker. The cream will rise to the top by the end of the season. Well, I think so, Stephen. Yeah, I think so. But, you know, there's so much information now available to what I would call the casual FPL player. That, you know, it's getting more and more difficult, more and more challenging, no doubt about it. Brian is in. Hey, Brian Springer, nice to see you. He says, Lee, yeah, you're right. FPL is super hard this year. Whichever premium you leave out, you just got to get behind the sofa and get behind the couch when they play. It's totally true. It's totally true. John Robert Knight, hello, mate. Captain Ollie Watkins and got 62 points with Vardy to come on. Okay, very nice, John. Very nice score indeed. Another super chat from, we've had one here from Spanner, who... super chatted £1 and then didn't say anything. So, Spanner, if you've got a question, if you've got a comment, then let us know, mate. Let us know. Get in the chat and we can read it out. Andrew Yee, very nice to see you, mate. Didn't know what was worse, my FPL team or my football team, Manchester United. Well, Andrew, might be the time to go and put the kettle on, mate, because...
I had a text from Late Riser, basically said exactly the same thing to me earlier.
Yeah, if you thought FPL was challenging, for all of those of you that are not Man United fans that have gone, cool, that was a difficult week in FPL, imagine you're like Andrew, like Late Riser, who've had a difficult week in FPL, and your team are absolute crap. Manchester United 3, Spurs 0.
No, excuse me, say it right. Manchester United did not beat us 3-0. Manchester United 0, Spurs 3.
Did I get that the wrong way around?
Yes.
Oh, I do apologise. Man United 0, Spurs 3. The United fans are like, what? Have we? No, you have not.
Twilight Zone.
You have not. Nigel's saying perhaps they should be called... Oh, I can't read it out. Can't read that out, Nigel, because there's a swear word in there. But the sentiment, mate, is correct. Man United 0, Spurs 3. Dreadful by United or very good from Spurs? Or a bit of both? What say you?
I say both. I think we say both because I think Manchester United were poor.
Cool, that's generous. That is generous. But well, go on.
I'm trying not to offend.
Go on.
All the because.
Says the Liverpool fan.
I know you're quite happy to offend everyone. You offended the whole Spurs audience 2 weeks ago. We're still waiting for an apology, by the way.
But we might get it after that performance.
Well, we should blimmin' well get it. We've 3 games back-to-back wins since Arsenal. I sat here after that
3
Arsenal.
Games? Oh, we're not counting Carrier Bag FC. Come on.
We blimmin' well are.
We're not counting Carrier Bag.
Actually, 4. We'll count Coventry as well. Since that Arsenal game, we've got Coventry, we've got Brentford, we've got Carrier Bag, and now we've got United.
Get a trophy for that, do you?
We're going to win a trophy. Have you not heard, Big Ange? Right, promised cool. it.
Come on, let's go.
We started really well, and... right from the off, we were pressing, we were aggressive. Mickey van der Ven encapsulated.
God, what was he on there?
Well, just decided. We said in an interview, I saw a gap and I went for it. Yeah. And the Manchester United defence, I expected better actually, because they've actually been okay-ish in defence the last couple of weeks. And I was expecting them to be a little bit better than they were.
God, you're being so nice here.
Old Trafford is not a place. But the thing is, Lee, Old Trafford isn't a place you go to and expect to whitewash them. Like, for Spurs to keep a clean sheet in the way, I know that they had the man sent off. Is it a red card? I said to Late Riser, in full flow, when it first happens live, I'm like, that's a red card, send him off. When you watch it back, he falls over, he slips, he kicks him.
It's not red.
It's not red, it's a yellow.
It's not red.
But the ref gives it on the pitch and VAR's not going to change it because it's not a clear and obvious error.
He could not wait, and I agree with Goldbridge and some of the others, and Bruno Fernandes himself after the game. Mm-hmm. I think they mentioned he could not wait to get that card out, that ref.
Well, Bruno's going to get in more trouble for saying things like that.
Smiling, he's giving it out. I mean, I don't like to see it. I mean, if it was against Liverpool, I would be fuming. So, United fans, I feel you there, because for me, not a red, but it is. He misses 3 games now, Bruno. He's going to be sold en masse in FPL.
Well, should be.
Price will plummet.
Yep.
Etc. etc. So,
but Spurs. Because Man United, let's be honest, I don't think anyone's investing.
Well, let's have a look at their fixtures, because the games that Bruno's going to miss now, he's going to miss Villa. God, go to Villa Park next, bloody hell. Brentford at home, West Ham away, Chelsea. I mean, Villa, Brentford, the West Ham game looks all right. Chelsea are on good form, and then it's Leicester, Ipswich. Three of the next four are tough for United.
Villa and Brentford, you're not touching United. You're just not. There's no one in there.
Not after tonight.
No, you're not.
A chance.
So I think from an FPL perspective, if you've got Bruno, sell him quickly, because he's going to cost you value.
You've got to,
He's going to cost you value, and he's not going to play for the next 3 weeks. So unless they appeal it and successfully overturn it, which I suppose they could, then he's going to drop significantly in price.
Yeah.
But from a Spurs perspective, we've been sitting here talking about how hard it is to own premiums. Now, in the Spurs team, one thing that you don't have to do is pay premium price tag. So you can have Dom Solanke for 7.5.
Mm.
You can have Brennan Johnson, 4-4, by the way, for Brennan Johnson. You can have Kulusevski. All of which are coming in at really nice, like...
Madders
is a bit more. He's more like Dom Solanke price. Oh, right. So yes, absolutely Madders. He's in the conversation as well, but is a million more than Kulu and Brennan. You can have them, and they're going to be reasonably good value for money in terms of enabling the rest of the team. You can have Pedro Porro if you want to, but my God, Romero nearly scored a bicycle kick as well, didn't he, in that game?
What's happened to, in particular, Brennan Johnson? Because, and we got to come to Dom, and he sat here last week on the back of the Brentford game, and I said about Dom being, you know, the metronome up front and the press and the intelligence of the press, and United just couldn't deal with it. But Brennan is really benefiting now from that press and the handful that Solanke is. It's benefiting the two either side. I didn't think much of Timo Werner today, but he's coming in. He's not really up to speed match fitness.
We score six if Son's there.
Maybe. But Brennan on the other side, what, like you say, 4-4. I mean, since he had a thing a couple of weeks ago, didn't he, where I think he was getting a bit of abuse online
after
from
the derby. The
keyboard warriors. And he was having a bit of a tough time. He deleted his Instagram. And since then... He's been absolutely on fire. He's been brilliant.
It's the thing is, for me, and I get quite upset by this one, because Brennan is actually really... The proper Spurs fans love Brennan Johnson. Like, I love Brennan Johnson. And when you're in the stadium, the crowd love him. Like, we all sing his name. It's just a few absolute prats on social media.
Yeah. Every
winds
club's
me right
got
up. And to... He's young, Brennan Johnson. He's not a kid, but he's not got an old head on his shoulders. But he clearly has a fantastic family unit behind him. You could see that from the interview he gave at the end of the game. And the club have clearly done a really good job, and the team around him, because he feels supported and he's gone out there. And rather than letting it get to him, he's gone out there and proved a point. And I love that.
Is he worth a shot at 6-4? Because the Spurs fixtures, I mean, on paper, I mean, it looks pretty blue on the ticker, but Brighton away...
Mm-hmm.
Difficult game, admittedly, but we've just seen how Chelsea ruthlessly exposed that Brighton high line.
Yeah.
And if Brighton don't get key players back for that game, you can see Spurs doing a similar thing with the talent that they've got. West Ham at home, nice game. Palace away, I mean, it's pale blue here on the ticker, but the way Palace are playing at the minute, we've got to talk about them. They've hit a little bit of a slump. Villa at home, Ipswich at home, and then, of course, City away in 12. So for the next five, Brennan, I think, could be all right for 6-4. And the reason I'm asking you so many questions about him is because I'm seriously considering him. I want to get to Gabriel somehow, right? Because I've got no Arsenal defence.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my... We went to Sky on Saturday and the Raya thing was just... I was so annoyed, guys, and we'll talk about it in a minute. So it's left me with no Arsenal defence. And I felt like I've got away with it this week. Despite the two goals, it's a deflection and a worldie, right? And Gabriel's... had a point blank save from a keeper that's had a career game, right?
Oh, ridiculous.
The Leicester keeper's had a game of his career. So.
Went up again in price, didn't it, Gabriel?
Did he?
Yeah, 6.2.
So I feel exposed not having Arsenal defence. And if I'm going to get one, I absolutely want him. And quickly. So if I'm going to do that, I've got to fund it. And Eze to Brennan Johnson is a way to fund it.
I said in the summer, a lot on any platform that would have me, that I really rate Brennan Johnson. And at 6.5, as he was then, 6.4 as he is now, I think he offers incredible value for money.
Mm.
Spurs, the way that we play, he's an absolute lock on the right-hand side. He's going to play.
So that I like that. So you think he's a lock on that right-hand side now? I mean, the way he's playing, yes. But even if he hits a bit of a dip in form, you don't think Kulu comes back on the right then?
No, because I think the way that we play, and particularly in these block of fixtures that we've got coming up, I think he plays them all. He'll put Kulusevski in the middle, which is what he has been doing. With he'll have him with Bentancur, and he'll be playing then Brennan and Son, because I'm assuming Son's only out this game and he'll be back, because from what Postecoglou said, it's not a long-term thing. He was unlucky not to make it today.
Yeah.
With Solanke in the middle and Madders in the 10. Like,
do you not think that the dynamic that I spotted today and spotted when I was at the game last week, with Kulu in the middle there, he's put in Maddison a little bit deeper. Not deep,
yeah,
but a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
What Kulu is brilliant at doing is finding those pockets in that 10 roll. I think he's brilliant in the middle, Kulu.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yeah.
And I thought he changed the game against Brentford when he come on.
Yeah.
And he was great again today. So Kulu finds those little pockets. Well, who better to find Kulu in those pockets than Madders sitting right behind him? And I think he's not stumbled across, but he's developed something there, Ange, that really works in the middle. Now, because of that, I think we'll see that far more often than not, which means Brennan hasn't got any competition now, or much less competition out on the right hand side. I like the setup, and I'm very, very keen on him, I have to say.
I honestly don't know why people worry about Brennan's minutes. I honestly don't. I think for me, the front three of Brennan, Son, and Solanke in the middle is absolutely the front. That's the front three.
Feels it.
Like, that
it?
Is the front three. Feels that's it. The three he likes. Kulusevski and Madders will play in the middle together.
But Madders more is the kind of 8 and Kulu 10.
Most of the time. I mean, they will swap from time to time. Because what you'll see is when it's going up Son's side, Madders will be more advanced. And when it's going up Brennan's side, Kulu will be more advanced. And if you watch it carefully, the two of them, they feed nicely off each other. They're in and around each other and they cover for each other when one's going. And it's ideal. And then you'll have a Bentancur or a Papsar or somebody in there as well. And it works beautifully. And at the moment, when you're playing a high line in the way that Spurs are, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Udogs and how he is, because obviously he goes off at half time with that injury. And Spence, actually, I thought did okay when he came on. No, didn't change the system, which was great.
Against 10-man Man U, though, it's hard to judge whether he had a good game or not. But yes, I agree, he did all right.
He did fine, because the system didn't have to change. That's the key thing for me, is when we bring on a sub, do we have to alter the way that we play in order to fit them in? The answer when he came on was no. We continued to play how we were playing, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
I think Brennan Johnson is a fantastic pick. I think Kulusevski is a fantastic pick. I think you, over the next 6 weeks...
Brennan's got the goal threat, though. I think of the two, Brennan's the one, isn't he?
Brennan has much more goal threat because of the way that he's playing. And
that,
also
that shot across the keeper into the far corner.
Off the post.
He's good at that, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, but we saw that against Carabag in the Cup. We saw that against... and even when I think back to that game against Newcastle, I sat here after that game against Newcastle and was incredibly infuriated because we played really well and we shouldn't have lost that game.
Mm.
We just didn't have Solanke fit. I still maintain if Solanke was fit, that game we win.
Yeah.
We win it because we play with this style of play that Solanke is absolutely perfect for. He's what we cried out for all of last season. And I was looking just before, I was showing you before we came on, wasn't I? There was a graphic that one of the Spurs platforms has put out tonight. And it basically shows all of the different just the metrics that we're looking at. And every single one, bar goal scored, we are above where we were this time last season.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that for me is really telling, because had Solanke played for those two games he missed, I think we'd be above for goals as well.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, yeah, I'm keen. After a couple of weeks ago, giving you a bit of grief, and I think I'm still right to do that, but the last couple of weeks, Brentford and Man United, the performances have been excellent, and Spurs scoring goals for fun. Very, very good indeed. Sam, we've had a new member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel, Dan the Man. Welcome.
Welcome, Dan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Very nice to see you. Dan, if you've got questions, if you've got anything that you want to ask us, then feel free to ping it in the chat. Your comments and questions will now be highlighted, because you are a member here of the FPL Family YouTube channel. So welcome. Very nice to have you along. Very
also,
nice to
my
have
new
you
shirt.
Along.
Wear my new shirt for the first time today, Lee.
I like that shirt. I do like that Spurs shirt. It's nice.
It's lucky.
I like it.
Guess who's on the back?
I can only imagine Mickey van der Ven is on the back.
Van der Ven. Max and I got matching ones of these.
We did briefly touch on the Arsenal game there, Arsenal versus Leicester. Before I get into David Raya gate and what happened there. Let's start with that. Get it off your chest. I was fuming, to be honest. Absolutely fuming.
It almost ruined your weekend, didn't it?
Yeah. And I'm still upset about it because I had Raya in my team.
Yeah.
not pictured in the hotel, flagged in the game,
yeah.
you know, the injury, not spotted in training, all that sort of stuff, right? So I'm thinking, and I don't have a sub goalkeeper, I have Vladimir Arsene, I got for them 4.5 million. So I'm thinking, you know, do I change Raya to Flecken going into this week?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have no keeper this week. And there was a few, and there will be a few of you actually that that stuck with Raya thinking, you know, well, even I'll if I play 10, I'll just say la vie. And yeah. I got him back for Southampton at home next week. Well, I didn't do that. I switched it to Flecken. Switched it to Flecken on Saturday morning on the way to Sky.
You did it while I was driving, didn't you?
And then there was, when we got to Sky, then there was some rhetoric about, well, he actually is at the hotel and he's been seen in a video and all this sort of stuff. So I was thinking, oh, well, maybe with, you know, a big European game coming up. Because they got PSG, haven't they?
Yeah,
PSG.
Wednesday night, Tuesday
I'm thinking,
night, Tuesday
well,
night.
Maybe they don't risk him or whatever. So then, of course, the team sheet comes out and he's on it. Well, it's the most upset I've been in for years in
genuinely
FPL. I was absolutely rocked by that because not only had I spent a transfer which I didn't want to spend,
yeah,
but I'd made my team worse in reality because you want Raya, right?
Raya's because you've the one taken you out the Arsenal defender.
That doesn't mean that I'm upset to have Flecken, because one of the reasons I did get him is because the fixtures look so good for the next few weeks for Brentford, and I do see some clean sheets there. I did think they'd get one at the weekend actually. And Arsenal conceded first this weekend, didn't they? So I'm sitting there.
The relief for you when the Raya conceded was good, though.
When James Justin scored his first one, I was relieved. I have to say I was relieved.
Because,
you know, I would have been even worse because I was fuming. I was honestly fuming when Raya turned up in that team. And if Arsenal had kept the clean sheet, I'd have been even worse. But what I will say is that going into the Arsenal game, going into this game, Arsenal 4, Leicester 2, even though they've conceded two goals, as we've already mentioned, one was a big deflection, one was a worldie. I still was not comfortable at all in the game, knowing that I didn't have an Arsenal defender.
Yeah.
The relief was palpable. And for 10 minutes, I think there was about a 10-minute gap between Arsenal conceding and Brentford conceding. So for 10 minutes, I had this I was in this glorious world where actually Flecken keeps
out
the clean sheet and it works out, but not to be. But still looking at the highlights of this game and watching the bits that I saw, first of all, you know, batshit crazy game. I mean, what is this game about? Absolutely ridiculous game, 4-2. The first half went completely to script, right? Arsenal 2-0 at halftime, they're keeping the clean sheet, utterly dominant, no issues.
Yeah.
Second half, crazy game. Yeah. And fair play to Leicester, because James Justin scores the first goal quite early on in the half.
Yeah.
So they've obviously had a bit of a talking to at half time, as if to say, look,
you've got
nothing to lose. The crowd are just Arsenal expecting to win this 4-5-0 and for us to just go home with our heads bowed back to Leicester. But no, they got into it and Vardy put himself about. Mm. He got Saliba booked quite early on in the second half. And they did all right, Leicester. And they did all right. And then the second James Justin goal is a worldie.
Yeah.
It's an absolute worldie. And then it takes until the 92nd minute or something. And as soon as the ball went up for, you know, Arsenal got 7 minutes now of injury time, I was like, they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way. And they did. So a crazy, crazy game. And
two ridiculous goals as well at the end. A massive, massive deflection. And then just the world's luckiest Havertz goal ever.
Well, Havertz owners, I think, can consider themselves quite lucky, because the first Justin goal could have been an own goal. You know, I think his header's on target, but it wasn't really looked at. And it did take a massive deflection off Havertz's shoulder, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And then, the fourth goal in the 101st minute or whatever it was, it just deflects off his thigh or whatever. It's just, a bit lucky, Havertz owners. But that's my rant. So right now, I don't have an Arsenal defender in my team. And I'm willing to take a hit to get one.
Mm.
Because again, for the third week in a row, Gabriel should have had an attacking return. I don't know how many corners Saka took in this game, but the point blank save from, is it Hermansen, the keeper, the Leicester keeper? You know, Gabriel could easily have scored more. And the Hermansen, I mean, what the hell? I mean,
game of his life.
Unbelievable game. So bonkers game. You captain Saka?
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Well, I was feeling quite good until the three bonus points went down to one.
Mm.
I must admit, I was raging. Not about the bonus points, about Saka. Because I took a gamble this week. And I said to Mark, who produces the Sky show, when we were there. And we had a long conversation, didn't we, the three of us, before we went on air about captaincy. And I changed mine. As soon as we got parked, we talked about it all the way up to Sky. I parked the car in the car park, and as we were walking into the studio, I changed my captain and said to Mark, I've changed my captain, can you change on the graphic?
Yeah.
And I moved it from Haaland to Saka. And we picked the kids up and we'd gone out for lunch, and I was desperately trying to avoid the Man City game because it was really, honestly, it was really stressing me, the fact that I hadn't captained Haaland, because yeah. I was acutely aware that his EO was massive. And I was like, I'm not enjoying this.
And then having him blanked.
So he blanked and I was like,
you're like, okay. Well, opportunity.
Now I've got an opportunity now. And Saka, like the underlying stats for that game, the amount of chances he created, his
take-ons.
Honestly, yeah, yeah. I was like, how, mate, have you not got something? Like, what is happening here?
Just the amount of corners they had.
Ridiculous. Then he did put one in. And at one point, it was an assist. It went in the game as an assist. Although then the goal accreditation panel changed it, didn't they?
It was
they
an
gave
own goal.
It, they gave it as an own goal.
It was
and
an
it
own
was
goal.
An own goal. But those points were in the app for a little bit. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I've had a win here. I've had a win. And then they took him away, but he got the three bonus points. And I was like, well, I've still had a win here because he's blanked, but he's got three bonus points. Now, as it happens, they've now taken the two of them away and he's got one.
He's got one bonus, yeah.
And that has had quite an impact on my rank. However,
he still absolutely run the show. You've got Saka, do not sell ahead of Southampton.
Well,
my God.
But people will do stupid things because they will look at this and go, well, I blanked. But you can't look at it like that because
the
underlying stats were fantastic for him and he was really unlucky not to get something out of it. And heading into next week when he's playing Southampton, I wouldn't want to be going without him. So if you're thinking in your head, well, maybe I'll sell Saka and I'll get Palmer.
I wouldn't.
Because this is just, on another day, Saka hauls in this game and he gets two goals and an assist and you're laughing.
What about other Arsenal assets then? Because the fixtures remain pretty good. Southampton, we mentioned, then Bournemouth away. It's then Liverpool, Newcastle, Chelsea. So it gets a little bit more difficult. But with Arsenal, you feel like a lot of their assets are, you know, pretty fixture-proof. I don't plan to sell Saka anytime soon. He's really ticking over. If anything, I want Gabriel to go alongside him.
Yeah.
Are players like Trossard going a little bit low-key under the radar? Martinelli gets his first goal of the season. We know about Havertz. Is that, you're thinking of doubling up on Arsenal? You've got Saliba and Saka right now. Are you going to add a third?
Well, the problem I have with players like Trossard, like Martinelli, is one, there's a rotation element to it. Who's going to get the starts? And they're not... Havertz, I think, is a different conversation. I'll come to him in a minute. But with those midfielders, I think it's hard because there's so many midfielders in those spots that are doing really well at the moment. And you're going to take one up with Saka. You're almost certainly having Mbeumo in there as well. So that's two gone. Then you're talking about potentially maybe having a Spurs midfielder in there. Then you're talking about potentially wanting Palmer in there. There's a lot of players, Liverpool midfielder.
You still think Saka's the one to have though, even though the others are
getting
points?
I still do. Because I think if you look at the underlying data, he is the preferred one. I think if you want to double up with Saka and Havertz, I like that as an option. He's significantly cheaper than most of the other forwards in the game that are doing well. I think if you are looking at your team and you've maybe got issues finding a way to Watkins, then I think having Havertz instead could offer you some good opportunities to kind of change that value about, because that's the problem, isn't it? With having, like, my front three at the moment has a lot of money in it now, and it does have an impact on what you can do in the other positions on the pitch. So yeah, I mean look I think I've got two at the moment in Saka and Saliba. Would I like a third? Absolutely. Can I easily get a third? Not really.
Tricky, isn't it?
Because I've got to sell somebody I actually liked in order to have a third.
Yeah, as Dan the Man says, Saka could have easily hauled. And Mark O'Leary says, Captain Saka next week, game week, Sam? I mean, home to Saints, I don't hate it. Don't hate it. He's definitely in the conversation.
He's in the conversation again. I don't know, honestly, if my heart can take another differential captain. Like, from next week, City's fixtures, it's going to be...
Fulham at home for the robot. Do you know what I mean? Difficult to go against that.
It's very hard. This week I felt I could roll the dice because it was an away fixture. It was the lunchtime kickoff. Next week, it's not a lunchtime kickoff. It's a home fixture. It's quite hard to roll the dice then.
All right. Well, listen, let's do him next. So Haaland, away at Newcastle, Saturday lunchtime. And Newcastle get the point. An off day for City, or what did you make of the performance? Because as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, no Isak in this game for Newcastle. So he decides to put Gordon in, you know, a false nine position. I thought Gordon was exceptional. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And I know he gets the foul for the pen and he gets up, scores the pen. So yes, he gets them the point. But the way that he was pressing and the way that he was supported in the press by the midfield, he was doing the pressing of, you know, several people at the front there. It was so, so good. I just thought he was the reason they got something out of that game. A very good performance from others, but Gordon was a standout for me.
Agreed. But this was the first time this season I've seen this from Gordon. Last season, yeah. Gordon was excellent. Absolutely yeah. fabulous all the time. A must-have. Absolutely a must-have. This season, I feel like Anthony Gordon's been a bit missing. It's been all about Harvey Barnes and Isak in part, but mostly it's been about Harvey Barnes, weirdly, at Newcastle this season. This week was the first week where I've watched Gordon and thought, oh, hello, welcome back to the FPL conversation.
I think he likes being the main man there. Do you think it's with Isak out of the team, no Callum Wilson, he's like, right, I'm going to take responsibility.
Maybe there was a bit of like, I'm taking this by the scruff of the neck and I'm doing it. Possibly it was that. Possibly it was the fact that he was in a slightly different position this week and could manage the team a little bit more, have a bit more influence. Also, sometimes think that just these matches, big club turning up, bit more
something to prove, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Good
but
though, wasn't he?
He was fantastic. He was absolutely fantastic. Would I buy him in FPL though? Probably not.
Well, the Newcastle fixtures continue to be difficult, right? Everton away, Brighton at home, Chelsea, Arsenal coming up on the horizon, Forest away, which is a tricky game. So I think mixed probably. So I don't think anyone's going to be going in for Gordon anytime soon. And maybe if Isak's back, I think a lot will have sold on wildcard as well. So I don't see too many going there. From a City perspective, though, nothing for Haaland, obviously, but
Vardiol, the troll of the FPL week.
Well, talk to me about the way that Pep set this up then, because, you know, I must admit, as soon as the team sheet dropped for City, I was reading down it in kind of chronological order, and it was like Vardiol, Walker. I was like, oh, Christ, no Rico Lewis, that's annoying. And then I read a bit, and it's like, oh, and Lewis as well.
There's Lewis, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, so what's he doing there? So Vardiol and Walker can't really play in midfield. And then Pep had said some comments earlier in the week about the fact that, you know, we like Rico, maybe not on his own in midfield, but alongside a Kovacic or somebody could give us something. He finds the gaps. So, yeah, I was obviously happy to see, as a Rico Lewis owner, I'm happy to see him play in the eight. And he did get involved with a lot of the attacks. But when you've got Vardiol and Walker there as the fullbacks, it goes back to what we had last season, which is Walker tucking in and Vardiol going forward. And if there's a player that's bloody comfortable in the box,
it's Vardiol.
Both boxes, it's Vardiol. Yeah. And can that lad finish as well? He took that chance so well. So, yes, I'm happy as a Rico Lewis owner that he's getting forward and he's being parts of the attacks. But if I was a Vardiol owner, I'd be equally happy that maybe it's now him and Walker at fullback. Do you see how difficult to know what Pep's going to do game to game, isn't it?
It's very difficult to know what Pep's going to do. We know this about Pep. I went up to Manchester on Tuesday night to watch them play in the League Cup. And he also played Rico Lewis in midfield during that game. Mm. And we've argued a lot about Rico Lewis this season.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not in a like bad way, but we just have differing views on him. Because I've been saying I'm worried about him playing in that position longer term because Kyle Walker, and you've been saying he's too important to the team. And I kind of feel like we've both sort of been proved right this week because he's brought Kyle Walker back in, which is what I was expecting. But equally, he's gone, well, you are important, so you've got to play. But he's put him in a position where I think he'll still be important. But I don't think it's benefited Rico Lewis, that move to midfield.
I agree with that. I think he's more effective, potentially, as that inverting fullback.
I do too. Mm. So I think what's happened is that it's made Vardiol a good asset again. Mm. But the question I have is,
what does he do, Pep, next game?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next game, do we see this setup again? Do we see Rico Lewis play somewhere else again?
The one thing you would say is that Walker's got caught out again. Like when the through ball goes through to Gordon and he's through on goal and he leaves a Kanji in his way, and Edison takes him out. And it's, I've seen a bit about it not being a penalty. I think it is. You know, Gordon makes sure that there's contact, but you see it a lot. I think it's a pen. But he's offside if Walker pushes up. But Walker doesn't. He got caught again.
Yeah.
And you go back to, what was it, the game? It was the Arsenal game, wasn't it? Walker caught, you know, got called over by the ref. Yeah, but he still gets caught out. And then for the second goal, he was caught out a bit as well. So just starting, I don't know if he's just starting to become a bit of a problem, Kyle Walker.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it will be really interesting to see what Pep does in game week 7. Because I think this week, if Rico Lewis continues to play in midfield, that's not what we want really in FPL, because I think it means Vardiol is the better option. If we end up seeing Kyle Walker drop out again, then and therefore Rico Lewis goes back to playing in the defence, then I think that makes him more exciting again, and it also detracts from Vardiol.
Yeah.
I don't know how Pep's going to play this, and it's difficult to know. I also was really surprised. Like, when you read the team sheet to me as I was driving back from Sky, I said, did you just say no Foden in the starting 11? And you were like, no
What's
Foden.
On there?
I don't know, Lee, because he started Foden in the League Cup and he wasn't unfit. He didn't look ill. He was fine. There was nothing wrong with him.
It's upset him again, is he? I don't know. You know what he's like off the pitch a bit sometimes.
The opening few weeks of the season, he was apparently ill, but you're not ill for like 4 weeks.
Mm.
Then he comes back in, he starts him in the League Cup and then benches him again. I don't... At a time when you've got no Rodri, no KDB, you're sort of, the heartbeat of your team is sort of lacking a bit. You would think that your best player outside of Haaland from last season would be in the starting 11.
I tell you what, my homie is saying Foden 9.2 mil. We need him to be an option. Do we? Do we need this game to be even harder, my homie? It's like, imagine trying to fit him in as well.
But the thing is, he will continue to plummet in price if he keeps being benched, because people, I think, have held him for this time.
Well, let's see what Pep does in the Champions League in midweek. I think Walker is starting to be a problem. And I think Rico might go back there.
Is that just because you want Rico to go back there?
Maybe.
Are you just looking for foul in what?
Maybe. I'm just looking at the last three Premier League goals they've conceded, and they've all been Kyle Walker's fault. And Pep will see it.
Savage.
Pep will see it. And then he puts Rico in midfield in a position that he's not quite used to, and he's sort of effective, and they drop points in a game where you'd expect them to win up at Newcastle. So I don't think Kyle Walker's been good for 6 to 8 months now, and I don't think he was any good for England either in the summer. So let's see. What other games should we go to, Sam? Brentford 1, West Ham 1. Can Brentford only score in the first minute of games? Or is this becoming a thing? What is going on here? Why do they start so well? And there's a Brian Mbeumo non-owner.
Ugh.
You must be thinking about getting him in, surely. Well, the fixtures continue to be good.
Thing is, Lee, I wanted him last week. Like, you know how much I wanted him for game week six. And I had two routes to him. The first one was almost unaffordable. And that, in fact, it might have been just unaffordable. It might have been bang on.
I think
on.
You were thinking Jota out, weren't you, for Mbeumo? Well, that was something you were considering.
The Smith Rowe to Mbeumo thing I had considered. But I can't remember why I didn't do that. I think maybe I was 0.1 away from it. And I had to therefore take a hit to do it. The other option was to go Jota, and I just couldn't sell Jota this week. His performance against West Ham in the League Cup, I was like, I can't sell this man. He's gone off on 56 minutes, having absolutely run the show and braced. I can't take him out, and it's against his old team, and I just wasn't comfortable. I was not comfortable going into that game without Jota, or without a Liverpool attacker. So I decided not to go for Mbeumo and went for Dominic Solanke instead.
Do you have a plan to bring him in, though? Because Wolves at home next, and then Manchester United away, which on the ticker looks pale blue, but I'm telling you right now, going to Old Trafford's an all right game. Ipswich at home, Fulham away, Bournemouth at home, Everton away.
Yeah.
I mean, we sat here last week and said the fixtures look amazing for Brentford.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. They continue to be. And I think even if you extend the ticker out, they're all right for a couple of weeks after that. So. Yeah. That's now, what, 2-2 for Brian? Maybe even 3-3? Looking good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Looking good.
Really good. The route I have to him is to sell Jota.
Hmm. Yeah. Who else you got in your midfield then that could be sacrificed? Yeah.
Well, Smith Rowe. But the thing, and I'm happy I'm actually happy to sacrifice Smith Rowe, but I've spent all of my remaining money from my bank, or pretty much all of it, on Dom Solanke.
So
I have the most beautiful front line ever.
You've got Haaland, Watkins, Solanke, haven't you? I mean, that's where everyone wants to get with that front line, but it means sacrifices.
It's glorious, but it does mean a sacrifice. Now, I could take a minus four, and I could do Pedro Porro to Mickey van der Ven. And in doing that, make my team ever more handsome, but also give me Mbomo in the middle.
Okay.
And that is potentially on the cards.
So I would consider that a downgrade, despite what Van der Ven's done today. Porro is, I think...
It's still a downgrade,
is the higher goal threat, right?
Yeah.
But is that a sacrifice worth making to get Mbomo? I think it is, you know. I think it is. Mbomo just looks... He looks bang on it, I think.
Do I want to sell Porro? No. Do I think that selling Porro for Van der Ven, freeing up the million to allow Smith Rowe to be Mbomo, is the right thing to do? Probably.
All right, well, Mbomo definitely the one to have a look at from that game. Carvalho, potentially, got the assist. We know that he's super cheap, 4.8 or whatever he is. He could be on radar.
So he's another one, isn't he, that's got potential there. Like, I could absolutely do that. Not a long-term thing, because obviously once Vissa comes back, but then he's out for another, probably 6 weeks. So you have got plenty of time, and by the time that 6 weeks comes to an end, that pretty much ties in with the Brentford run starting to come to an end as well. That's definitely another option if I don't want to sell Pedro Porro.
All right. Okay, Ipswich 2, Aston Villa 2, a striker that you've been on about for some time.
But
Mr.
why don't
Liam
I ever
Delatt,
do these things?
Gets a double. And there's a lot of people in the chat talking about, you know, bigging you up, saying you've been talking about him for a while, Sam, and he's finally coming good.
Yeah.
He looked a proper handful today, I have to say. He looked very, very good indeed. We'll talk about Villa in a minute, but yeah, option, the lad.
Look, I have been arguing with people a lot this season about Ipswich, because I think the Ipswich are a decent team. I don't think they are as bad as people think that they are. And I still think that people's views on Ipswich are skewed by the opening two fixtures of the season when they played Liverpool and Manchester City.
They're also kind of unsexy picks, aren't they? I mean, bless him, Liam Delap. He's a kind of... What I like about him is he's a very industrious, you know, he's not going to do any like little Cruyff turns or any sort of like anything like that. But he puts a shift in and he's a big target man, isn't he? He's a bit kind of Chris Wood from that perspective. He's not sexy, but he's half effective, and he was today.
Well, he should have had a hat trick today. Were it not for Emi Martinez making an outstanding save with the end with his boot. He gets a hat trick today, and he's 5.5 million. And one of the things that like, I had a straight choice last week. Do I want to go Delap? I know I've ruled myself out of Solanke. Or do I want to wait for Solanke? And I decided to wait for Solanke. In doing that, I've caused myself headaches with my budget because I've gone up. What I like about Delap mostly is that he's kind of the perfect third forward. You can play him in the weeks where Ipswich have a nicer fixture.
Well, let's have a look at those Ipswich fixes, because you just mentioned them. It's West Ham, Everton, Brentford, Leicester before Spurs away in 11, which obviously looks difficult, but then Man U at home. I mean, if you're going to get Delap, now's the time.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you can play him for the next 3 weeks, then you can bench him for the Spurs game, because in reality, if you've got a 5.5 forward as your third, that means that your five midfielder slots can be really, really strong.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's deciding how your budget is distributed that's going to make such a big difference to what you're doing. And I think, you know, if you've gone for Delap, and I know there was a lot of guys, I was getting tagged in this in our Slack chat earlier with a lot of people going, I got Delap, thanks Sam, and I was like, yeah, you're welcome, because I just think the underlying numbers for Delap have looked, they've been there, I'm not surprised to see him. I was sort of surprised it came against Villa, but yeah, I'm not surprised by the underlying numbers. And I think if you want to go there, look, I also thought Leif Davis had a fantastic game today. Had it not been, had that third Delap goal gone in, that would have been a Leif Davis assist. Davis picked up a bonus point as well today. No attacking returns, no clean sheet, but picks up a bonus point. Greaves was good again today. There's plenty of options in that team and they are cheap. So you can go there and save 0.5. Or if you've still, like me, got Barco, you can deal with that issue. And I like him.
Well, as Adam Stevo is saying in the chat, thank you, Adam, for the comment. Need to know how long João Pedro's out for. But if he is out for a bit, then could be a nice move over to Delap.
Don't you think that it's worth doing that anyway for the next
week? It could be. It could be, because if you look at the Brighton fixtures going forward, it's Spurs, Newcastle, Wolves at home looks all right in, what's that, game week 9.
I think but you pick Liverpool, Brighton up again,
Man City, Bournemouth, it's like...
Game week 12, you pick Brighton up again.
Possibly. Yeah, if you've got João Pedro, a move to Delap over at Ipswich is... Does not sound like a bad move, Adam. I have to agree with you. Super chat from Joseph. Thank you, mate. Hayley and Sam, how are you? We're doing well, mate. We're doing good. Game week score 52. Thanks, Sam. I have Delap in my team from the start and got Dom this week. So there we go. That's another one that you've influenced over to the Delap team. Team Delap. Hashtag Team Delap. Very much the case over in this household. Villa then. Big game coming up in midweek, haven't they? Got to play Bayern, I think. Mm. No. Are they Bayern?
Yeah, Bayern.
Yeah, they've got to play Bayern Munich.
Got a bit of Harry Kane.
So, what did they do here? Did they just take their foot off the pedal with that in mind, or did they just come up against a good Ipswich team?
Well, Rodgers, you didn't watch much of this one because you were at football with Max.
Correct, yeah.
Rodgers was absolutely running the show.
He's so good,
phenomenal. And then he picked up what looked like a little bit of a hamstring injury and they took him off.
Mm.
And I think it was precautionary. I don't think it's a massive issue. I suspect it was because they've got Bayern Munich in midweek.
Played a lot of football, hasn't he?
He's played this a lot of football.
And he's not been rotating him. He's been giving him the 90 most weeks.
And I think that was a big part of what happened here, because they took him off because I think they had to make sure he's all right for midweek. I will be keeping a close eye on that, because if he's injured, that's a bigger problem. Like, if he's done a hamstring, then that's an issue. I don't think it looks serious, though. I think he'll be all right. I think it was mostly precautionary. Then they made the weird decision to take off Ollie Watkins, and I can only think that that was with...
They're protecting him as well, maybe.
...midweek in mind.
Yeah.
But then they did have John Duran on the pitch at that point as well. So it's not like they left themselves without any attacking threat, I guess.
No.
But the game did change where Morgan Rodgers went off. I do think he's really integral to how they play. Defensively, Aston Villa haven't been solid all season, though. We've seen that the last few weeks. Like, Wolves got in behind them and then they came back late against them. Obviously, Ipswich with a couple against them today. Could have easily been three were it not for Martinez. It's hard with Villa to know, isn't it? Because we've been saying for a while that when they played European football last season, they weren't putting out their first strength side early on. They were resting the likes of Watkins, and it was only when they got to the latter rounds of the competition that they started to play him. In the Champions League, with the new format in particular, that is just not an option. They can obviously take him off, and we saw him get taken off in the first game once they'd won it and they were comfortable. They took him off, and then he was iced in his foot and we all panicked. But against Bayern Munich in midweek, you're going to need Morgan Rodgers and Ollie Watkins and all of those guys fully fit and firing if they're going to have a chance of beating them. So I think I'm an Ollie Watkins and a Rodgers owner. I'm happy to keep them both, obviously. Yeah. I wouldn't be selling anyone. I can see why people are flocking to Ollie Watkins because, you know, he's performing really well again at the moment.
Mm.
The defence, I think, is a little bit more questionable, though. You've got a defender, haven't you?
I've got Konsa, yeah. I'm not feeling great about it, despite the goal last week, which I'll happily take. But, I think against Man U at home next week, you know, despite the fact they've got a European excursion against Bayern.
But
and
so
that
have
is...
United.
Yeah, but they've got... United have got a different sort of game, haven't they? Coming up against Bayern Munich is going to be... That is going to take its toll, right? Really is going to take its toll. That'll be a tricky game. But then after that, Fulham away. I do like Bournemouth at home, I think. But, you know, that'll be hard for them as well. And then Spurs, Liverpool on the horizon. I'm not feeling great about Konsa. I'm not feeling great
about
Konsa.
Does it feel like there's many clean sheets there, does there?
No, not really. No. With him at right back, if he continues to play there, then maybe there's some attacking output. But, yeah, don't feel great about it, I have to say. What else? We've got a couple more games just to go, Sam.
We haven't talked about Liverpool yet.
We haven't, no, but we've also not really talked about Cole Palmer. We kind of did a little bit at the top of the show there. Anything else additional to say about Chelsea 4, Brighton 2? Or have we covered it all? Brighton's defensive line, shocking. Palmer just exploited it ruthlessly. I mean, Palmer for sure is going to be on radars, right? And if you can afford him, great. But it's very, very difficult to get him in. Talk to me about some of the other Chelsea assets. And in particular, someone that we picked up in Sleeper Draft. And I think we won, by the way, in Sleeper Draft this week.
Yes!
I think we beat the Wire Boys, didn't we, this week?
Yeah. Because, so, we had Son.
Yeah.
And, of course, he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. we've got no one left to come off the bench apart from Armstrong at Southampton, and I wasn't thinking that was going to be a very good idea. So I thought, right, what could we do here? So I cheekily, Lee, went in and looked at who was available, and I got us Timo Werner on a waiver last minute. Heading into the game.
On a waiver.
I don't
Come
even.
On.
And the thing is, we won by like 0.35 points or something. Yes. Timo Blimmin' Werner, he might not have won the game for Spurs, but he won us the sleeper round.
We'll take it.
But we did also get some points out of Jadon Sancho.
Well, he's one I was keen to pick up in sleeper, and in the draft he wasn't. We didn't pick him up until quite late on because we did the draft 2 or 3 weeks ago and he hadn't really played, and I did it on the hunch that I think he's a quality player underneath it all, and I think United's a tough place to be, and I thought he'd want to go to Chelsea and prove some people wrong.
And he has.
He's starting to. It's, of course it's early days, of course, but underneath it all, and underneath the attitude, because I do think he's got a bit of an attitude, Sancho, but underneath all that is a quality footballer. Mm-hmm. A quality footballer. And if he can get going at Chelsea, I think they'll get something out of him. Two assists. I mean, it's not to be sniffed at, right? I'm not for a minute suggesting you say no to Palmer and go to Sancho, but there's quite a big, obviously big price difference there as well.
Yep.
So if you want to go in on the Chelsea midfield, and I want to have a look at the Chelsea fixtures going forward because they are mixed to say the least. It's Forest at home next, which, by the way, Forest
defensively they're good.
Forest won't play the same sort of game as Brighton,
no, they
and
won't.
And they will be defensively better in my opinion. Then it's a trip to Anfield, Newcastle, Man United, okay, Arsenal, Leicester away.
Sancho against Man United. Can he play again? Yeah, because they bought him.
Can you imagine
didn't
that?
They bought him. He's not on loan.
I think he's there. Yeah, he's there.
So we can go back to Man United and put one.
Unless the chat tells me differently, I'm pretty sure they've got him. Yeah, they've bought him. It's a move. So yeah, and he will be bang up for that game, won't he? And then a home game against Forest and Newcastle. Different sort of approaches, right? They're not going to get... Brighton's high line in that first half of the weekend was just a joke and they just continued to do it stupidly. Forest won't do that. Newcastle won't do that. They haven't got the players to do that. And Liverpool, obviously, Anfield's a tricky fixture. But it just on my radar, Sancho, just for the same reasons I picked him up in sleeper. I just think he's got something to prove and he's starting to prove it.
Yeah. I still quite like the Nico Jackson pick, you know. I think there are other options at Chelsea.
Oh, he's online, people are saying. Okay, I thought
there
he picked
you go,
him
he can't
up,
play
go.
Then. There are options, right? I don't think that you have to spend, and I know that Kelly Summers hates me at the moment for saying this. But I don't think you have to spend. I still don't think you have to spend 10.6 million on Cole Palmer.
Mm.
I know that he's just got 4 goals. I get it. I know that he's got that in him. But if you have Cole Palmer in your team, undoubtedly that means that you don't have somebody else big. And
yeah.
So what you have to do is just make a decision. Now, if you can, and at some clubs, Spurs are a good example of that, you don't have to spend 10 million on Son. You can spend 6.4 on Brennan Johnson or 7.5 on Don Solanke or on Maddison.
Yeah, yeah.
Liverpool are sort of the same because you've got 12.5 on Salah, but you could have Jota or Luis Diaz instead, or even Trent. So there are other options there. And Chelsea, at the beginning of the season, it was like, you have to have Palmer. That's it. Mm-hmm. If you want Chelsea, you have to have Palmer. In the last couple of weeks, I feel like
we're starting to
get some other options. And Nico Jackson is one of them. I think he's 7.7 now. I think he might be still that. And then you've obviously got Sancho as well, who's just starting to maybe put his head up as an option. So all of these things... If you want to have Palmer, I get it. Particularly after the 4 goals
He's still
today.
The best option there.
Of course.
Let's not beat around the bush. He's the best
option,
but
he's really expensive. And so if there is another option, then maybe you can have a look at it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
All right. Last but absolutely not least, the current league leaders, Liverpool Football Club against Wolves.
Do you think slot 4, after 6 weeks, he'd be top of the league?
No. But I think it's fair to say that we have had a reasonably nice start to the season in terms of the fixtures. Well, certainly when I looked at the fixture list, I was like, OK, well, there's a trip to Old Trafford in there, which actually has been our easiest game. But apart from that, I was thinking, OK, well, looks reasonable. We could find ourselves, hopefully, at somewhere near the top of the table come game week 6. I'm not sure that we found, I didn't think we'd find ourselves at the top. And by the way, I didn't think we played particularly well in this game either. I thought this was a game where probably one
You were quite annoyed most of this game.
It wasn't particularly good. Especially in the first half. I didn't rate us at all. And you know, poor old Wolves, everything that I've just said, say the opposite for them, right? Because they've had six very difficult games, Wolves, and they find themselves at the bottom of the table.
They played quite well.
They did all right. Yeah. They did all right in this game, yeah. I mean, on another day, Konate doesn't make the mistake for the 8-0 goal. He sees it out for a corner, he stops dicking about, and we don't concede, and it's 2-0,
Why
and it's
have
fine,
they done
right?
That? So infuriating.
It was annoying. As a Trent owner, it's annoying.
Yeah, it was.
Because it come from, I think, you know, Slot was asked about it in his post-match, and I think he said, yeah, you know, put his tongue in his cheek, and he said, well, it was avoidable, to say the least.
Because he was quite happy, wasn't he, in the... After the game, not Slot, the players, when they were talking about it. And Slot said something like, oh, I think he's forgotten his defensive mistake or something, he said, didn't he? And I was like, yeah, good to pull him up on it. It's always good to pull him up on something.
And Slot is not afraid to do that, right? We saw that game one with Quanta. He's not afraid to
do that. I like the fact that, you know, yeah, all right, celebrate your goal, but also you cost us a clean sheet.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, totally. But both of us were quite keen to hold Jota for this game, simply because of the two goals in midweek in the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off on 58 minutes in the cup, so you're thinking, okay, well, he's going to get the start against his old team Wolves, who are bottom of the league. You know, it seems kind of, you know, a bit luxury to move that aside.
Agreed.
And so it proved. And to be honest with you, the first goal comes about in a very kind of non-Jota way for him to get down that wing and float a ball in. He's not the sort you'd usually see him on the end of it. And even with the second one, you know, he gets fouled for the penalty, doesn't he, for Mo. But, you know, I saw a stat saying that his first touch in the box was 83 minutes.
Yeah,
he didn't have a touch. So he'd got two assists by the time he'd had his first touch in the box, which is kind of bonkers, right? So that just tells you everything you need to know about Jota's game, I think. There are different routes to points. I don't think he added a lot in terms of goal threat here.
It was different, though, wasn't it? What we saw in this game from Jota to what we've seen in previous games from Jota in terms of the position he's taken on the pitch. It felt different watching him.
I don't know about that.
It felt to me like he was playing slightly differently in this one. I can't really put my finger on why though.
I don't see that. I think he was still. I think he was making himself difficult to play against. He's moving in and out of central defences. He did everything that you'd expect from Jota. He gets fouled for the goal, for the penalty. You know, the cross. Yeah, for sure. He's found himself in a Diaz-style position there, and he's lofted it over. And even when he lofts it over, I'm thinking, well, that's a bit of a crap cross. Mm. But Konate gets up for the second time this season, by the way, because he scored against Milan in a similar way. Gets up like a salmon, and Bosch just goes in. Brilliant.
like a salmon.
So I don't mind Konate as an option, because I do think now that he's proving himself to be Van Dijk's first-choice partner. I think poor old Jarrell, after that first half in Ipswich in game week one.
Konza.
And I do agree with everything that was said back then. I do think he's better on the ball than Konate, but Konate is just a brick wall, right? He's so hard to get past. Okay, this mistake aside, right? This was a mistake, no doubt about it. But it'd be interesting to see what he does against Bologna during the week, because I think he'd probably bring Jarrell back in. Be interesting to see who he starts and who he rests. I think it's against an Italian side. Probably Chiesa gets a start.
We might see Chiesa, Gakpo, Darwin?
We'll start to see those guys again. Yeah, we'll start to. I think Gakpo will get a start. Yeah, no doubt. And I think Jota playing the majority of this game, I don't think we'll see him at all against Bologna. And if we don't, that's good for us in FPL. As Jota owners, I think we take it.
Yeah.
What about Diaz, though? Because he, you know, no returns for him in this game and coming off a little bit early. What do we think?
This was another swinger for wildcarders, because a lot of people that wildcarded this week who had Jota before will have done the Jota to Diaz thing. And then Jota gets two assists and Diaz goes off with a one-pointer. And I think you're disappointed if you're a Jota owner, if you're a Diaz owner. But I think what we've seen from Diaz over the last few weeks is that he has been outstanding. Now, arguably, he has been performing above the level that we would normally expect from Luis Diaz since he's joined Liverpool.
He's been overperforming his XG, I can tell you that much, because his XG is about 2.5, and I think he's on about 5.
Mm.
He's 5 goals. And also, his shot conversion rate is up in the 70%.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting that he's about to massively regress, but having a performance like this, you know, where he doesn't get anything, it can happen. It can absolutely happen.
Yeah, and you know, that doesn't mean you should all go, oh, that's it, I've had enough, I'm getting rid.
No, absolutely.
Like, I think, you know, he's the player that's risen by the most in price so far this season. He's gone up 0.5 now. He's at 8.
Yeah.
So am I surprised by that? Well, no, because he's been performing really, really well. But as Lee said, the underlying numbers haven't suggested that he was going to be performing quite as well as he has. So the fact that this week he doesn't get anything...
Remember, he's not a £10-11 million player either.
No, and I think that's the other thing. He's £8 million now. Like, and we should remember that. Like, we should be sort of treating the likes of Diaz in the same bracket that we're putting, I don't know, players like... I know that Mbomo is slightly cheaper, but players like that, they should be all kind of banded together. So we shouldn't be expecting Diaz to perform with the Palmers and the Salahs and the really expensive assets. But we have been, because that's what he's been doing over the last few weeks. So I think it is what it is. For me, if I had Diaz, I wouldn't be looking to sell him.
No panic on that. And I know Salah got the penalty and a free bonus point. I was surprised to see it, I have to say. I was surprised to see Salah get the free bonus.
Yeah,
obviously not the penalty. He takes the pens, right? But the free bonus, I didn't think he had his best game for us,
no,
by any stretch of the imagination. There was one breakaway where we were 4-on-2 and he just needs to play a simple ball inside to, I think it's Szoboszlai maybe, and he just sort of passes it to the defender and you're like, Mo, what are you playing at? Obviously it's Mo, you get what you pay for, that's why you pay the premium. He gets the penalty,
absolutely,
the free bonus points, and you're laughing, right, 10 points or whatever. So you obviously love it, but didn't think he had a really good game. The player that is absolutely key for us at the minute is Ryan Gravenberch. Picked up the one bonus point. And I think, you know, if I was to change anything about FPL, it would be something like that. It would be the fact that those sorts of players don't, you know, they are criminally, you know, they don't get the points because they don't get the goals and the assists and stuff. But him in the six, he's just so good. The way he reads the game, he's so comfortable on the ball as well. And what's most important out of all of that is that him playing there means Maka can play up. Means that McAllister, excuse me, and Szoboszlai can play further up the pitch. So I think Slot deserves a lot of credit for recognising that in Ryan Gravenberch and playing in there and developing in there in pre-season. It's very, very good indeed. Key player for Ten Hag under when he was at Ajax, you know, Ryan Gravenberch. Yeah, he's the one player that Ten Hag didn't bring over. Maybe it'd be crap at United if he had done. Who knows? But
they do seem to be ruining everyone at the
pretty
minute.
Pretty good for us.
You've
at the
only
minute.
Got to
pretty
listen.
Good.
You've only got to listen to Ericsson's comments to know that there's problems. That's Christian
Ericsson,
one of the most professional players you will ever meet.
Yep. And a senior player in that squad, and he's saying what he's saying.
And he's saying things like that. That is a worry.
I agree. So we'll do a quick shout out for our friends over at Sleeper. If you're not in our Sleeper Pick'em leagues yet, then get over and download the app at Sleeper Footy, or just go to the App Store or Google Play Store if you're on Android and download the Sleeper app. Every single week we'll be giving away $100 worth of gift vouchers to the winner. All you've got to do is download the app, pick who you think is going to win. Haven't even got to get the scores right. Just, so who do you think is going to win, lose or draw, and you get a mark out of 10 at the end. And if you're in the top, you know, if you've got 10 out of 10 and three or four others have, we will pick a winner at random using our little wheel. Those of you that have been here for the last couple of weeks, you'll know I love the wheel. And then we pick a winner. We're not going to do that tonight because, of course, we've got the Bournemouth game coming up tomorrow. So we won't know. No point picking a winner tonight because we've got one more game to go. But once that game is done, I will know who the winner is. I promise you I will do the wheel.
We'll record it.
We'll even record it if you want me to. I'll do the wheel and we will pick a winner. But if you want to play that every single week, then at Sleeper Footy, go and download the app.
I'm having a bit of a nightmare this week, Lee.
On Sleeper Pick'em?
I have not done very well.
Oh, okay.
How many?
Go on, how did you do? I haven't looked at mine yet. I'm going to have a look.
Well, Spurs got me out of the mud a little bit.
What'd you get out of 10? Mark's out of 10.
I'll double check it before I say it, because it's that bad that if I've got one extra, then that'll be great.
I've not done very well either. I said Villa to beat Ipswich. Didn't do that.
Yeah, I got three.
Three?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm much better, actually, to be honest with you.
I had Spurs.
I'm three as well.
I had Spurs.
Bad times.
I know. I had Spurs to beat United, of course. I also had Villa to win. But then, like, when I look at, like,
Did you have Spurs to win?
Yeah.
I had the draw.
Shut up.
I did have
Why'd you have the draw?
Oh, I just thought, you know, difficult place to go, United.
Yeah. Difficult place to go is a gift shop.
In fact, the only ones I had, God, I tell you what, I've had a stinker as well. I had Arsenal to win.
Yeah, me too.
I had Chelsea to win.
I didn't.
Didn't you?
No, I had a draw.
God, I had Liverpool to win.
My results this week are Arsenal, Liverpool and Spurs.
But then there were some difficult results. Like I had City to win. I had Brentford to win. I had Forest to beat Fulham. Cool, I got that very wrong, didn't I?
I had Everton and Palace.
As a draw?
No, I had Palace to win.
Did you?
Yeah.
God, I had the draw for that. So anyway, Pickham not gone very well for you and I this week.
What have you got going on tomorrow? Who you bet on?
It's not a betting thing,
but,
Sam.
But who you put your point on?
I'm backing Bournemouth.
Yeah, me too.
Bournemouth at home, I'm backing.
Probably means that Southampton are going to win, to be honest, the way my Pickham's gone this week.
So Pickham not gone well for you and I, but lots of you have done very well this week in Pickham. So if you are playing Sleeper Pick'em, or whether you're not, then get in and download the app, because every week we'll give away $100 worth of gift vouchers to whoever wins this week. Yeah, well, it's because people are good at it.
Three people with seven so far.
People are good at it.
Wow.
What else can we talk about, Sam? Let's do teams. Let's do our teams. We've got to talk about how we've got on this week. So here's me, 50 points, which, to be honest with you... It's a small red, right? So it's minus 11. I think I was at about 930 and I'm now at about 992. So I'm teetering on the edge of the top million.
Of glory.
Yeah. In a week where, you know, 42% of the game have got Palmer's 30-pointer, it is damage limitation. If you haven't got Palmer, it's just about keeping your head above water. And I've got Rodgers come in there, Watkins has come in, Jota's come in with an 8-pointer, actually snuck a bonus point in there, which I'm happy about. Nothing for the defence, which is crap.
Well, the bench defender.
Oh, except for bloody Robinson, yeah, what a joke. Yeah, he's on the bench. And then Mbeumo coming in with the 9. So, it actually could have been worse. It could have been worse this week. It's been fine. I'm treading water about a million. I'm starting to get a bit annoyed that I can't, even though I'm playing aggressive, I'm not making the moves up the ranks as I would want to. But it is what it is, as they say, right? And without Palmer, so you've got no Palmer. He's 42% owned. You're going to get a red arrow if you haven't got him. It's just a fact, right? Unless you storm it everywhere else. And I think my rest of my team have sort of made up for not having Palmer. I don't have anybody in Bournemouth, Southampton tomorrow. So my red is going to get worse. So I will be outside the top million come tomorrow.
Nobody's very well owned.
Semenyo, I think Semenyo's got a few, isn't he?
7%. He's my differential on the pod.
Right, okay. So there's a few that have got Semenyo, but not many.
He's not going to kill you.
He's not. No, even if he goes off, it's not death, is it?
No.
It's not death. So
no, it's not death by Semenyo.
992 is sort of okay. I'm starting to get a bit narked about it, but it is what it is. We're there. Thoughts for next week. I'm almost certainly going to be captaining Haaland at home to Fulham. But like I said at the top of the show, because of Ryagate this week, I now don't have Arsenal defence. And I desperately want Gabriel. He looks like he's going to score every week. It's a joke.
Mm.
So I do want Gabriel. And I'm thinking, despite Robinson keeping the clean sheet, it could be him to Gabriel. It could be Konsa to Gabriel as well. But I just got a back that Villa are just in the longer term got better fixtures and they're a better team than Fulham. I just think, you know, Fulham, their first clean sheet of the season, this one, isn't it?
I'd sell Konsa over Robinson.
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Robinson's got the much maybe. More attacking threat.
Maybe. However, here is the dilemma, is that if I want to get Konsa or Robinson, and by the way, Konsa is 4.5 and Robinson is 4.6, my selling value.
Okay.
If I do want to go up to Gabriel, I've got to fund it somehow. I've got some money in the bank from doing Raya to Flecken, so I've got about $1 million in the bank. To fund it, I've got to lose somebody else in this front line, and I can't really take João Pedro anywhere, right?
So yeah, you can.
To Delap. Well, I can, but it doesn't give me much in the bank, because they're largely the same price, right?
0.2?
Yeah, it's not enough. Right, it's not enough. I need to fund it somewhere else.
How much do you need?
About another million, probably, right? So I'm thinking about, about $500,000, I think, something like that. So I'm thinking about getting rid of Eze. I'm starting to get the ump with Palace a little bit. I'm starting to get the ump with Eze a little bit.
Oh, I see where this
is going. If he's not on penalties, which we still don't know, we think probably Mateta now, maybe.
Then Brennan Love coming.
Then maybe Eze out to Brennan Johnson. Yeah, maybe.
A little bit of Brennan.
I could, of course, get Semenyo. I could, of course, get Smith Rowe, who are both much cheaper than Brennan, in which case I can afford to wait. But it looks like, according to Fantasy Football Fix, that Eze might be going down tonight.
And, does it?
And if Eze goes down in price, I cannot then do those moves.
Ooh, Lee.
I do not, Sam, want to take a hit on a Sunday night.
But
I do not.
And Arsenal and Spurs both play midweek.
I don't want to do it. I hate it. So I could do... I looked at it earlier. I could do Robinson, and not Konsa, because remember, Robinson's got 0.1 extra sell price for me.
Okay.
I could do Robinson and Eze to Gabriel and Brennan Johnson. But I'd have to do it tonight for a hit.
I'm going to see what statistics is saying about
this. I hate it. I hate it. I do not like it.
Let's see.
Chat, tell me what you think. Tell me what you think. Why is saying Konsa is on the chopping block for me? He is for me as well, mate. But if I want to make that Brennan move work...
Eze on the downward tonight.
Yeah. Now, listen, I could go Semenyo, who's about a million cheaper than Brennan, in which case I haven't got a rush and it's fine. But if I want to do the Brennan move with Gabriel, then I've got to do it tonight. Probably got to do it tonight. Get it done, they're saying in the chat. Want rid of Eze too. Webby is saying Pedro is going down too. Yeah, Wilco, I've can't deal with that. I just have to. That's just, he's just got to stay there. Webby says, but Lee, you're trying to be patient this year, didn't you say? Yeah, I did say that earlier.
The big issue is if you did this tonight and then Gabriel / Johnson, by the way, what upgrades that you're doing with these transfers. But if one of them gets injured in midweek, can the bench cover it?
Well, Greaves.
Play Greaves this week.
I could play Greaves this week.
Yeah.
So, hello.
Hell just happened there? Why did that just... What?
The light just went... Just flashed, didn't it? What's going on there?
It just got really bright.
Oh, my God.
And it's still really bright.
God, well, it doesn't seem to have affected the live stream too much. Right. But,
sorry, guys, if that suddenly give you any sort of, you know...
The guys turning up. The podcasters loving that, obviously. It means nothing
podcasters to them. Podcasters are like, what the hell are you talking about, guys?
That's it. I've got to... Spend the
Do
next couple of hours. No! I've got
Do
to
it right now.
Think about it. I've got to think about it.
What's there to think about? Gabriel? Good. Brennan Johnson? Good.
Well, it would have been a lot easier decision to make had we seen Semenyo so far this weekend, but we don't. He's playing tomorrow night.
Ooh,
and I would desperately love to get through that game and see if he pops up with a brace tomorrow night. I'm like, well, I'll get Semenyo then.
Well, but Bren's got 4-4.
He has. And if you look at the fixtures, the Bournemouth fixtures, yes, it's Leicester next, but then Arsenal, Villa, Man City. Do you want Semenyo for those three?
No, you want Bren.
Whereas if you go for Brennan, and I'm talking myself into it slowly but surely, in those three game weeks, he's got West Ham, Palace and Villa.
Imagine how much you'll enjoy watching Spurs when you've got Brennan Johnson in your team. And he's bombing down the down the right wing.
This is why I was asking you so many questions earlier about, you know, is
he
nailed
and everything
else?
That 2 weeks ago you were prepared to go to the divorce courts with me about your attitude to Spurs. Fast forward 2 weeks and suddenly here we are on a Sunday night. You're taking a hit to bring in Brennan Johnson.
It's not really about Brennan. It's about Gabriel. And don't take that the wrong way. Brennan, I like the look of, right? And if I can make it work with him, great.
Can you still afford to do this even though Gabriel's gone up in price yesterday?
Yeah, because I looked at it today.
You better do it tonight then.
I looked at it today, so I can afford to do it. But it's Gabriel. You always talk about get the one you fear. He's getting big chances and scoring goals every week. It's ridiculous. And they've got Southampton at home next. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Listen to me very seriously now. You cannot go into Southampton at home without an Arsenal defender.
Well, yeah, well, I was going to have Raya, wasn't I? But I've got bloody spooks.
But you haven't got Raya now. So now you've got to fix your issues. So the only thing you can do...
You just
do...
want me to get Brennan. You're not interested about me having Arsenal defensive coverage. You just want me to have a Spurs player.
Quite frankly, I'd rather you didn't have an Arsenal defender because that will get me my points back on you. But what I'm saying is Brennan Johnson is locked in that Spurs team. He is unbelievable. Yes, we have a game to play.
He's not unbelievable.
Yes.
He's just hit a good bit of form.
No, he is unbelievable.
Whereas
talent.
Whereas Arsenal defence is unbelievable. You want it.
Both
Whereas
of them.
Brennan is like... Nice
Lee,
clap.
Look, let's be frank. Eze and Konsa... No, Ezra and who? Ezra and Robinson?
Yeah.
Or Gabriel and Brennan Johnson? Why is that even a conversation?
Because...
Put your big boy pants on. Get your phone.
Oh, shut up. Right. Your team. What have you got? Oh, 50 as well. Right. So, small red arrow for you. Let's have a talk through your team.
It was green. Until they took away the bonus points.
Until you savagely...
Till FPL Towers savagely took two
bonus points
away. Which was actually 4 points for me. Can someone have a little violin, please? Because that was quite sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, I mean, look. Ditto everything you've just said about not having Palmer.
Correct.
It was horrific. At one point... So on Saturday night, I thought, I've got to have a look at my team. because I'd avoided it. And I had a look, and I had like 18 points or something. And my rank was at 2.7 million. So it'd gone out by 1.5 million. And I was like, what is my life? And then I looked at my team and I was like, but I've got four players to play today.
Well, your player's got to play today.
I had Morgan Rogers, Ollie Watkins, Brennan Johnson, he's on my brain, Pedro Porret and Solanke, all four of them, gods, all bringing returns this week.
Done well today, haven't you?
All four of them.
Today's a good day.
And that arrow, honestly, at the end of the game was green. And I was like, oh, yes. And then the guys in the Slack ruined my dinner by messaging and it popped up on my watch. They've taken away Saka's bonus points. And I was like, no, my arrow will be red. But actually, I'm actually really pleased. All the things you said about Bournemouth, I'm not worried about that game, really. Semenyo probably will return, but he's 7.7% owned or something. It's not going to be, like, really painful.
Okay. Early thoughts on next week. You've got some transfers you're having a look at. And Bournemouth's got to be on your mind, isn't he?
He's on the mind, but the only way to him is either to sell Jota, which I still hate the idea of.
It's because your midfield's a bit light, isn't it? Winks, Smith Rowe, Rogers. You've got three cheapies there because it's all up front. That you've got the dream front three that everyone wants, but your midfield's a bit light.
Yeah, and my plan long term isn't to have this front three. My plan was to have Watkins for a few weeks and then to lose Watkins down, and that probably
too good though, isn't it?
And that probably still will happen. But if he continues to bang, then I can't really lose him.
Mm.
As I was saying, the one thing I could do is I could go Pedro Porro to Van de Ven. And in doing that, I could still keep Van de Ven and a Spurs defender. And I could give myself the opportunity to upgrade one of my cheapies. And that's probably preferred than selling Jota.
Mm. You go Solanke to Liam Delap. That'd give you some money to get in Bomo.
I don't want to go Solanke out.
You love Dom Solanke.
I love Dom Solanke so much. I just love him. He's everything at the moment.
Captaincy and for next week?
Haaland. Leo. It was hard enough standing on Sky on Saturday morning telling everyone I was captain in Solanke.
Saka.
I wish I'd captain Solanke, actually. Telling everybody I captain Saka over Haaland and then the questions that was inevitably going to bring.
Look at his fixtures. Look at Haaland's fixtures from now on. Fulham, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton, Spurs.
I'm not captaining him against Spurs.
Well, all right. But for the next five, he's captain, isn't he? I mean, are we going to be back to that boring captaincy conversation every week? We are, aren't we?
Yeah,
it's
we are.
Sad, isn't it?
For the next 5 weeks, we are.
It's sad. I've hated it, really.
Because actually, I think Saka's a good captain again next week.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it.
Home to Fulham, you're just going to... Does the no De Bruyne, no Rodri thing just give us pause for thought? Or is it just like going against Haaland now, Fulham at home, Southampton at home in like nine? You're going to do it, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, look, I am not in a hurry I'm not in a hurry to make any changes to my team yet. And Bombo's on the cards, but not yet. He's not rising, he's not falling, nothing's happening. Nor are the players that I might sell. So they can all just stay put. I'm going to play through. There's a lot of football this week. We've got Champions League.
Definitely don't take a hit Sunday night, whatever you do.
Unless you're you. We've got Newcastle in the cup. We've got Newcastle. It's all right, dear. We've got Newcastle in the cup on Tuesday night.
Have you? Okay.
No, we haven't.
Oh.
I'm saying generally, collectively. Newcastle are playing their League Cup because the sinkhole at Wimbledon, that got moved to Tuesday night.
Yeah, mental.
So we've got that game on Tuesday night. We've got Man City and I forget who the other... It's Villa, isn't it? Tuesday night. Then is it Arsenal? And either way, it's Champions League Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we've got the Europa League and the Conference. So you've got Man United, Spurs and Chelsea on Thursday. There is a hell of a lot of football this week because you've got all the European sides plus Newcastle. So let's just be...
Just hold those transfers.
Let's just
don't
be calm.
Don't take hits for Brennan Johnson on a Sunday night, whatever you do.
Unless your name is Lee Bonfield from FPL Family... Don't take a hit on a Sunday night. If your name is Lee Bonfield from FPL Family, take a hit.
Imagine.
Take a hit.
Imagine. So I don't want to do it. What is coming up this week, Sam, except for stress for me?
You won't be stressed because you'll have done it. You'll have done your transfers. You won't be stressed. You'll have a nice calm week watching Liverpool win in the Champions League. It'll be lovely.
Absolutely no chance.
And then you get to watch Brennan Johnson bag again, 5-5 on Thursday night. What is going on this week, you ask, Lee? First things first, thank you to every single one of you who nominated us for a Football Content Award.
Oh, geez, yes.
We did not ask you. I did ask you to set up a slide. I know you haven't done it, but that's fine. We didn't ask anyone really to nominate us this year, so we're really grateful that you went out of your way to do that.
Thank you, yes.
It is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and I could think of nothing better than lifting a trophy at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Lee.
Imagine a Spurs fan winning a trophy at the Spurs Stadium.
Honestly.
Be the best trophy lift you've had in that stadium for, well, since its inception.
Oh my God. You're asking for such trouble. Ordered a new dress.
How do people vote, Sam, if they wanted to vote for us to win this bloody thing?
There's a couple of ways to do it. You can go on Instagram and X and you can tag us in the posts. Or you can go to their website. It's like footballcontentawards.com/voting.
I'll link it.
And then...
Can I do it on here now?
So you go to their website and you vote. And there's scroll down to where it says best in fantasy football. There's two categories. One is best content creator. That is where you'll find us. The talent that is in that pool is obscene.
Should we just read
this
out?
We are massively underdogs.
This is mad.
Because it's like the GOAT at FPL Harry, that's you. You've got...
He's the GOAT now, is he?
I think so. Have you seen he's got 3,000 clones of his team now?
Oh, it's mad, isn't it?
It's insane the amount of people that are copying him. So you've got FPL Harry, you've got Andy from Let's Talk FPL.
There's the link, guys. I've put it in the chat. So there's the link. If you want to go and click the link, takes you to a web page, and in that web page it'll say take me to, and then in the take me to you say, right, take me to best in fantasy football category, and it'll jump down that page to best in fantasy football, and then you can vote on organization and creator. So what they've done this year at the FCAs is they've massively like streamlined it. There was bloody loads last year, and I remember sitting there going through loads and loads of different awards, but they've only got two in fantasy football: organization and creator.
Yeah.
Now, the key one for us is creator. So you click on the creator drop down and you can go FPL family.
You might as well vote now as well.
While you're there, guys, you might as well, in organisation, vote for Fantasy Football Scout.
Or the
if
pod.
If you enjoy Fantasy
if you
Football
prefer
Scout.
If you prefer the FPL pod over Scout.
Ooh, which one do you want to win? Ooh, it's difficult, isn't it?
I actually don't know what to do about this. So so normally what I did last year, I was like, vote for Scout here, vote for the pod here, yeah, vote for us here. This year, I don't know what to do.
Difficult
because
now,
obviously,
isn't it?
I'm the general manager at Scout and I love that place so much. And it is mostly thanks to Football Scout that I have, Fantasy Football Scout, that I have the platform that I have today.
You love that podcast though, don't you?
But that podcast.
Love that podcast.
I love that podcast so much. I don't even know if Kelly's going to sack Jules and I. It's possible that we get the sack this week.
Why? Because you told her not to get Palmer on a wild card.
Yeah. I'm not sure. She texted us on Sunday.
Difficult
Saturday. She said, I'm not friends with you two anymore. Jules laughed and I apologised.
Dan the man, thank you, mate. Voted FPL pod and FPL family.
Thank you, mate. So I'm putting this in your hands with the organisation. Go Scout, go pod, either which one you prefer is fine. But if you can find it in your hearts to go to this website and vote for FPL family, because if I could win a trophy at Spurs, I might cry.
Imagine your little face. Imagine
I'll cry.
You winning a trophy.
Genuinely think I'd cry.
Spanner is in, he's saying, just voted.
Thank you.
AB voted for the pod and fam. Sorry, thank Scout. You. It's all about the pod. It's all about the pod here. Babani's saying done. Joseph
thank
is saying
you.
Done.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Get into.
You can vote on every device you own, by the way, just saying.
Right, okay, good. If you want to double up, if you want to go above and beyond and vote for us on all your iPad devices.
If you want to tell your mum,
you can do that.
Or your dad's.
Get your dog to vote.
Everyone. Yeah. Anyone you know. Text them all. Get in your family group chats.
Just
that'd
imagine the little picture I will put on X of Sam's little face lifting a trophy at Spurs. Imagine it. Imagine it. Imagine how happy. It'd be even happier than when George got her photo of her and Van der Ven. Look, she'd be even happier than the George picture of her and Van der Ven. Right, guys, that is enough of that.
So that's that. So I appreciate that isn't actually what you asked me. You asked me what's coming up this week, and I went on a thing about...
Sam, we've done nearly an hour and 40 minutes. You've got to wrap this up. Come on.
So there's two things going on this week. It's actually going to be a bit of a quieter week this week. We've got, obviously, the pod. If you want to vote for it in the content awards, you can. That'll be back on Thursday. That's with Jules and Kelly.
People
and
are saying,
I.
If you win, Sam, can we have a trophy parade? Can you get home to the bus?
All around North London.
Who said that? AB. Absolutely brilliant.
Imagine.
You just like.
Just me. Can we get a limo with a sunroof and I'll just ride
No,
around
it's got to be a bus.
A bus?
Yeah. Open top bus.
Okay.
Still get a bigger crowd than City.
Ooh, that was a bit savage. Yeah, maybe I'll take my Spurs shirt with me in my bag and I'll just put it on. Wear it around the stadium. Yes. You've thrown me now.
What's
what was I saying? Oh, and we're back on Sky on Saturday morning. We're on Sky again on Saturday morning.
Oh, please
morning.
No more Raya problems. And I couldn't deal with that on Saturday. I just could not deal with it. It was horrendous.
Yeah, this week's a little bit quieter. Next week's busy again. So, yeah, Sky on Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. If you want to have some last minute things, you'll find us there.
Kingdom FC is saying 100% a parade, Sam. 100 guys, if
Where
we win
parading?
An FCA against the like prop, we're just dicking about here. Proper content creators like Harry and Raptor.
Job.
Look who's in there. Look who's in there. Focal, Harry. We've got Raptor, Gianni. Let's Talk FPO, who's got 500,000 followers. Right, if we beat Andy, who's got like half the world following him on YouTube, there will be a parade. 100%.
Where are we going to parade? Up the high road?
I wouldn't start planning it if I were you. I wouldn't put too much thought into planning it. Andy's got 500,000 subscribers.
I really want to win it, Spurs. honestly, last year...
I wouldn't put too much thought into it.
We were at Liverpool. It was a bit like, all right, we're at Liverpool. It was nice. This year we're at Blimmin' Spursley.
Dan the man is saying, I voted on my phone too.
Yes.
For my job, I have 6 devices, so you get 6 votes.
Yes! this is the commitment we need.
Can we all be a bit more like Dan?
Be a bit more Dan? And if you don't have someone like Dan in your life, get someone like Dan in your life.
Right.
Go on, find these people and vote for us everywhere.
Gotta go.
Please.
This is ridiculous. We've done an hour and 40. I feel like we get longer every week. Thank you for joining us, guys. Leave us a like before you go.
I'm going to plan
my
parade.
Hit that subscribe button because we've only got something like 475,000 until we can beat Andy for subscribers and get an FCA. So if you could all, how many have we got in? Have we got 475,000 in? We're about 600. Okay, so we're about half the way.
Yeah, but they're not all going to vote. I don't think Andy's lot are as committed as ours.
Well, they're not.
They're voting on 6 devices.
6 devices. Brilliant.
No.
And no promise of a parade. I bet he's not got a bus.
I'm going to get in the Slacker in a minute and I'm going to say to them, guys, I need you all to go and recruit at least 6 people.
Right, can you shut up? We're now at 142 minutes. It's ridiculous. Hour 42. What is going on? Right, guys.
Oh, you've
like
got transfers
subscribe.
To make.
All that nonsense. I've got a hit to take. That's it. Well done in game week 6. We'll see you this time next week for a game week 7 review. See you guys.
Bye, guys.